Hi, we're Grace Life, and we'd love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you.
Good evening, everybody. If you read through the New Testament, you see that Christianity is a supernatural thing, right? It's not something which is just textbook. Hallelujah, praise Jesus. I mean, imagine this whole Christian thing was just textbook stuff. You have enough of that if you're a university student. You've had enough of textbook stuff, right? You want something more tangible, something real. But the world is fed up with words. I don't know how else to put it. It's fed up with just being, just having to kind of empty words. You know, Paul even said, I didn't come to you with just persuasive words, but with a demonstration of power. And so they can't just be persuasive words. We can be very persuasive with our words. The majority of us here are intellectual. We're not just good looking. And so we can be persuasive with our words, right? But it's much more impressive if you heal someone. And I'll just clarify it and say it's obviously God's power, but you're the vessel. And so people don't get healed unless you lay hands. But you've got to lay hands, and God wants to use you in this area. So I want to encourage you, go to that. If you don't go to that, it's not a problem, because we've got many things which train you in that. If you come to Growth Track, we kind of touch on that. And there's always an opportunity to learn and grow in this stuff here at Grace Life, because this is something that we believe strongly in. I don't know if the guy is here this evening, but someone came last week to the service. I don't see him. But he came up for prayer after the service, and he said to me, I have a sprained ankle. Would you pray for me? And as I'm about to say yes, let's go for it, he's like, actually, when we started worshiping and everything, the pain went away. And I'm thinking, why did you come up? what are you asking for? And he says, it's just actually a little bit there, because I got most of my healing during worship. And I was like, awesome. And he said, but just pray for the last bit, because I know that you guys flow in this stuff. And I was like, I don't know your name even, but I really appreciate that. That's our reputation. That that we're a ministry which focuses on healing. And I don't remember everybody's testimony, but over the years you had many testimonies. You usually remember the freshest testimonies, the ones that happened in the beginning, because it's like striking, it's exciting, and then it's not a bad thing. You become familiar with it. The supernatural becomes natural. It becomes a normal thing for you, and so you don't really remember everything that happened. And it's not a bad thing. It's just awesome. I remember, I don't know who it was, but praying for someone this past week. I was trying to share the testimony earlier, but I couldn't remember the details. All I remember is the person was surprised, and I kept saying, you shouldn't be so surprised that you're healed. Because we shouldn't be surprised that we're healed. We shouldn't be surprised when someone gets healed, because that's God's heart. That should be normal Christianity. Christianity isn't just textbook stuff, like I said. It's God coming to live in you. It's you having relationship with God. Okay, John chapter 7, or John 1st, 3 verse 16. Okay, one of our fridge magnet scriptures, you've got it written down on something, on your coffee mug, or on a fridge magnet, or on a bookmark. You've got it somewhere in the house, right? A keychain. And it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him shouldn't perish, but have everlasting life. So love motivated God to rescue the world. Okay? Many of us have this mentality of God, which is like God is judgmental, God is condemning, God is pointing out sin. And the reason why a lot of people in the world have this mentality of God is simply because Christians are like that. And so, because a lot of Christians have misrepresented God, we kind of think God is, we judge God based on the Christians that we meet, when it shouldn't be like that. We shouldn't be holding God to the standard of most of his followers. That's terrible. We really need to know the goodness of God, that he's a good God, that he's got good things in store for us, and that he's not like many Christians. I think that many of you would say, amen, that's awesome. It's a good thing that God, God the Father isn't like many of his children. It's a sad thing that many of his children aren't like their father, but we're getting there. Ephesians 4:11-13 speaks about how leadership in the church is there to equip the believers to be able to mature into the full stature of Christ, to become mature and be like Jesus. Not in their spirit, because in your spirit you're already like Christ, but to mature to that place where you start acting like him. And so we're all on a journey, amen? We're all maturing, we're all getting there, and there's grace, so relax if you're not acting like Jesus just yet. It's okay. But Christianity, this John 3 verse 16 says that Jesus came because of God's love to rescue the world so that we would have everlasting life. There's two things in there. He didn't want us to perish. He wanted us to have everlasting life. Okay? Many of us think perishing, hell, everlasting life, heaven. That's 100% correct, but it's not complete. Okay? Jesus didn't just come to save you from hell and send you to heaven. Otherwise, the moment you said your salvation prayer and you received Christ and you said amen, you would disappear. And you would be in glory in heaven because that's the only purpose for your existence. But your purpose for and your existence here on earth means something because God left you here when you became a Christian. He didn't just take you into glory straight away. He actually put the glory into you and then left you here. That's significant. Okay, so he came to save us from not perishing, which includes sickness. It includes poverty. It includes depression. He came to rescue us from perishing and have everlasting life. So everlasting life is the remedy for the perishing. Okay, think about Adam and Eve in the garden. They were in perfection. They had everything that they need. They had intimate relationship with God and that they walked with Him in the cool of the garden. They enjoyed fellowship with Him. They didn't get sick. They didn't need a doctor. They weren't doctors yet. Okay? Some of you might be studying for being a doctor, and I'm not against you. I'm just saying that there weren't originally doctors in the garden. There weren't construction workers or anything yet. There wasn't pastors yet because everything was in such perfection. It was God and man, intimate union, relationship with each other, and there was no sickness. There was no tragedy. There was nothing painful. There was no sorrow. Okay? So should not perish includes everything that came as a result of Adam and Eve's fall. Think about everything that was lost in the garden. Everything, the moment Adam and Eve ate from that tree and they were sent from the garden, everything that came as a result is perishing. Right? Separation from God in a sense. They weren't completely separated from God because God still fellowshiped with them after they left the garden. But they didn't have that intimate relationship now because sin was a problem. Then Jesus came to deal with the problem. And eternal life is the remedy to everything that was perishing. And so now we need to know what is the remedy? Because Jesus came to give us eternal life, the remedy to the perishing problem. And so God's heart for us is that we would not perish. And yet people are perishing every day. When we die, some people perish for eternity. And that's not good news. Amen. That's very sad. But that's why we've got a work to do. And that's why, you know, we're planting churches, we're reaching out, we're wanting to help people discover relationship with God and the gospel of grace so that they can live the abundant life in Christ. But Jesus came, said we would have the remedy, not perish. Perishing includes the here and now. It includes your finances, includes your health and all of that. Everlasting life, John chapter 17, verse 3, it says that this is life eternal, that they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. So eternal life isn't just living forever. It's not just heaven. It's relationship with God. Okay? Jesus came to give us friendship with the Father. This shows us that the remedy to perishing is relationship with God. And you know, some of you might be here and you're saying, oh, I'm perishing in this area of my life. Let's use a healing or sickness as an example. I'm perishing in that I've got this thing that I'm managing, this chronic disease, this illness, or the doctor said this or that, the next thing, or I'm just ill, or whatever the case is. It's like you're perishing in this area, and now you're trying to figure out how to get healing. And what many Christians do is we try to figure out how to get healed, and we're kind of fasting, we're praying, we're reading the Bible, we're doing all of these things to try and get healed, when what is the answer to perishing? It's relationship with God. It's everlasting life. And yet, many of us do fasting, praying, reading Bible, confessions. We do all of these kind of things to try and get the right result, but it's completely separate from relationship. You can do all of those things in relationship with God. I get that, and I understand that. But the majority of people are doing those things mechanically. It's not actually relational. Yeah, you need some wisdom. You need an answer as to what are you going to do next year? What business should you start? What business opportunity should you take? Whatever the case is, you can do it very mechanically, or you can do it out of relationship with God. Mechanically would be you're only really going to God to get an answer. You're doing the right things, maybe to try and get the right answer, but it's not the right motivation. The right motivation would be just focus on relationship with God. Yes, He's got something for you. Yes, He's got an answer for you. Yes, He's got healing for you. And yes, He wants you to have that. Yes, you can have that even if you don't have a very good relationship with God. Hear me. You can get the answer even if you don't have a great relationship with God. But it's going to be a lot easier to get it if you have a very good relationship with God. And so rather seek first relationship. Focus on the everlasting life part, on building your relationship with God, and then the answer to whatever you're perishing is starts to just flow. It starts to come because you're walking in relationship with God, which is the remedy to the perishing. Amen. It's much easier, you know, than most people make it out to be. Healing, like if everlasting life is the answer for sickness. If everlasting life is the answer for sickness, so you've got some kind of sickness, and I'm telling you that the answer is everlasting life, then how do we receive healing through relationship with God, which is everlasting life? Remember, we've just looked at John chapter 17, verse 3, and we've just said that relationship with God is everlasting life. So the reason for Jesus coming is everlasting life. So now, out of relationship with God, you know, why... Every Christian has a relationship with God, whether it's good or bad. Okay? It's not from God's side. He's not the one saying, you know, I don't really enjoy spending time with you. You don't really enjoy spending time with Him. You might not agree with me, but then why aren't you spending more time with Him? If you really enjoyed it that much, you would want more time with Him. You spend time with the people you want to spend time with, right? You've got a boyfriend or girlfriend, you understand this. Because it's like you just want to spend time with them. It's like you can't get enough time. But it's like, well, what about other people who are important? Like maybe your family. So I'm getting into a different topic now. Let's leave that. We can talk about that in another series. Hey. But in relationship with God, you're a lot of us don't receive our healing or receive our answer to our situation because we don't see God as He really is. And this is something that hinders us from receiving our healing. Okay, so look with me in Hebrews chapter 4. I've ministered on this a lot in the past, but I think we need to hear it again. And it's something which we continuously need to be reminded in. But Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, says, "Let us therefore come boldly." Everyone say boldly. Okay, that was timidly. Everyone say boldly.
Boldly,
boldly unto the throne of grace. That we obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Now, there's many things. I think I could speak on this for the whole service time. But the major thing I want you to get out of this is if you read this, this is an open invitation for you to come to the Father. There's no hindrances between God and you. He's not blocking the gates. He's not closed the gates. He doesn't have operating hours. God isn't saying, well, you need to do a few things before you come to me. Okay, this is talking about your time of need, which means that you're at your lowest point, and God is saying, come. That's what I want you to see in this verse for a moment. In relationship with God, you know, your Father is on the throne, and it's saying, hey, in your time of need, come boldly to receive. That's what it's saying. In your time of need, come boldly to receive. How many of us feel like we can boldly receive when we've just duffed up? We've just missed the mark. We've just messed up. Often when we mess up and we make mistakes, that's when we don't go boldly to God. That's when we stay far from God. And what do? We start whimpering. We start begging. We start begging for forgiveness, whining about how pathetic we are and all of this type of stuff. But the one thing we don't do when we've made a mistake is go boldly to the throne. It doesn't say the throne of judgment. This is the throne of grace. Meaning you're not going to get what you deserve. It's a throne of mercy. You're not going to get what you deserve. but it's a throne of grace, you get better than you deserve. And so this is saying that you've got access to a perfect relationship with God, better than Adam and Eve. You can have a relationship with God better than Adam and Eve because you've got God living in you. Adam and Eve didn't have that. They lived in the garden, walked with God, but they didn't have God, Christ in them. You've got Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so you can have a better relationship with God than they had. Now, why I'm saying this is because I've just said the answer to our problem, let's say of sickness or whatever problem, other problem is included in this, the answer to our problem is relationship with God. That's the remedy. But a lot of us don't engage in that relationship properly because we feel like we can't approach boldly. We feel like something is holding us back. We feel like God isn't accepting us enough. We feel like God's not going to really accept me. And you know why you believe that? It's because you don't know the heart of God, which says, come boldly. The heart of God, which says, I accept you and I love you. The heart of God, which says, I will remember your sin no more. Hebrews 10:17. The reason why we don't approach God boldly, the reason why we're not receiving what we need from Him is because we feel, let me say it like this, we don't truly believe the gospel, or we haven't heard the gospel. What is the gospel? It's the good news of what Jesus has done for us. It's the good news of God's unconditional love and grace. The gospel is wrapped up in Hebrews 10:17. Their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Most Christians are more familiar with their sins and iniquities than with the love of God. Most of us are more acquainted with what we've done wrong than we are with how much God loves us. That's probably one of the reasons why you might be struggling to receive your healing. Because you don't feel like you deserve it. But, and how do we judge ourselves in this area of deserving it or not deserving it? We feel like, hey, I don't deserve it because I've sinned. I haven't done good enough, right? We've all missed the mark somewhere, and so we're judging ourselves according to what we've done or what we haven't done. And yet God's saying, hey, I remember that. I don't remember that stuff. What does He remember? He remembers 2 Corinthians 5:21. Let's look at that. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For He has made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. So this is saying, Jesus took your sin. He became what you were so that you could become what He is, which is righteous. Okay, so when God thinks of you, He doesn't think of sin. When you think of you, you might be thinking of sin. But when God thinks of you, He's thinking righteous. If you're born again, if you've received Christ, He's thinking, hey, you're right with me. You're 100% right with God, 100% of the time, irrespective of your behavior. Because righteousness isn't a behavior issue, it's an identity issue. Okay, this says that you were made the righteousness of God in Him. You didn't become the righteousness of God in Him. Now, some translations say become, and it's not incorrect, but when we read become, we automatically think of becoming. And we think of it as a process. But it's not a process. It's a once-off deal. You become, in an instant, the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You enter into right standing with God where you can stand in the presence of God without any feeling of inferiority. You should be able to stand face to face with God right now without feeling any condemnation, guilt, or shame as a Christian. I want to ask who made a mistake today, but I'm sure you don't want to own up to it. But the point is, it's like we all make mistakes, and I'm sure this week everyone's made at least one mistake. Okay, only one, I'm sure. Everyone's only made one mistake. For some of you, it was coming late. No, I'm joking. But the point is that we all make mistakes, but that doesn't determine our identity. That doesn't determine who we are. And we judge ourselves according to what we've done. God judges us according to who we are. And who we are is determined by, are you a believer or aren't you a believer? Have you stepped into right standing with God or haven't you stepped into right standing with God? As a Christian, you're in right standing with God all the time. It cannot change. It cannot ever change. Even though you've made a mistake, God still accepts you because Your punishment for sin was placed on Jesus. Okay? It was placed on Jesus, so you can't hold it. It's not for you to hold. Amen? I think that's good news. So when we hear that, it kind of helps us to receive our healing. Because you're like, you know, I know I don't deserve it, but praise God, Jesus took what I deserve, so I get what He deserves. Jesus deserves healing if He ever were to get sick, which He won't. But it's like He deserves it more than you, but He took what you deserve. He didn't deserve your sin. He didn't deserve punishment for our sin. But He took that punishment, and then He gave us what we don't deserve, which is righteousness, forgiveness, peace with God. And because we have peace with God now, hey, anything you need, it's yours. I was chatting to someone this morning and ministering to them. And, you know, they were asking me a question about healing and what about, you know, when you just, you've prayed and you've believed and you just haven't seen it manifest yet. And there's a couple things in this conversation which were really great. The first thing was, you know, as I was chatting, I realized there's a faulty misunderstanding, which hopefully I'll get to in a minute. But the one thing which I kind of shared with him, which I heard this week and it was very encouraging for me, is this analogy. Okay, imagine you've got this big tree and you're going to chop it down with an axe. Okay, so I've got my axe and I've got this big tree and I'm hitting the tree. First swing, does it take the tree down? Okay, it doesn't matter how big you are. You're not going to take it down in one shot, it's a big tree. So you hit again, and you swing again, and you swing again. Not even Jonah. And you swing again, and you swing again, and you swing again. I could see you guys looking at him. And you swing again, and you swing again, and you swing again. And then eventually, timber, the tree falls down. Which swing made the tree fall? All of them. All of them. If you didn't do the first one, you couldn't have done the last one. And so often we kind of in this place of, okay, you know, we're trusting for healing or for a miracle or whatever, and we're kind of like, it didn't happen. Why didn't it happen? Then you've aborted it. You've got to start from square because that's another story. But the point is, it's like you sow the word, you sow the seed. By His stripes, I was healed. We'll look at that scripture in a moment. And you receive that and you're like, in the name of Jesus, I'm healed. You still feel a little bit ill or whatever, but the point is, if someone's laid hands on you, you've declared the word, and you know it's done, but you haven't seen it manifest yet. Keep swinging. Keep swinging. Keep swinging. That tree will eventually fall. Every swing counts. Don't kind of allow the tree to grow back. Some of us stop swinging because we get tired and we become weary. And so the tree maybe grows back and it's stronger than ever before. And it just stays there. When you just need to keep swinging. And we need to be encouraged. And you know, praying in the Spirit builds us up. And I believe that's one of the things which encourages us and helps us to persevere. But we just need to keep persevering. Keep swinging. Because eventually the tree will fall. Even if you don't see an instant manifestation, the work has started. Something is happening. You might not, you know, if you plant a seed in the ground, you don't see what's happening underground. And it does you know, if something is happening, even if you don't see it. If you don't think something's happening, you're a fool. The roots are growing. Things are happening. When it starts to push up through the soil and a plant starts to grow, then we're like, wow, there's a plant. There was always a plant. It was always there. It just hasn't come yet. There might not be fruit on that plant yet, but the fruit is in that plant and the fruit will develop and grow. And so often we plant a seed and we've watered it and we're praying over it and we're just declaring the word and whatever. And we don't see the plant, we don't see anything happening, but it's taking root. And we give up and that's why we don't see the any kind of manifestation of the healing. Or we kind of see the plant coming, but there's no fruitfulness with it. We see some things happening, but it's not enough. And the fruit is in that plant and you just need to be persistent and keep going. Keep swinging. Amen. Just a couple of verses I want us to go through. Firstly, what's it? Psalm 34. Just a couple points on healing. Firstly, Psalm 34, verse 8. It says, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in Him." Taste and see that the Lord is good. You know what that's saying is that God is good. He's equal to good. You can't take good from God and be left with God. So many people are extremely twisted in believing that God put sickness on them. That's a lie from the pits of hell, and any Christian believes that, believes the lie of the devil. God never put sickness on anyone. He always, you know, I was speaking to someone this week, and they were saying, "Yeah, I haven't received my healing yet, so I'm wondering if God wants me to be sick. Why does he want me to have this sickness?" No, I said to them straight away, I was like, no, I gave them, you know, some healing teaching. I was like, no, that it's going to take me too long to explain this to you. You need to go and listen to some good teaching and have your mind renewed. Because nowhere in Scripture did Jesus ever put sickness on anyone. He only did what he saw his Father do. That's what Jesus said. Jesus only did what he saw his Father do. Jesus never put sickness on anyone. He never refused to heal anyone. He never said, you know what, sorry, you need to suffer a little bit longer. Let's make you a little bit stronger. You need to be more mature to be able to help more people. You're going to have a brilliant testimony. More cancer. I mean, that's ridiculous. John 10:10. The thief comes but for to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life. I like the Amplified in that. You've got it there. Can you open it for me? Yeah, it says that we may have life to the abundance, to the full, till it overflows. That's basically what it's saying. That's God's heart for us. Thank you. It says, the thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. I've come that they may have and enjoy life. God wants you to enjoy life. You can't enjoy life if you're sick. You can try, but you won't enjoy it as much as someone who's healthy. And have it in abundance to the full, till it overflows. That's God's heart for us. That says destruction is from the devil. How many of you believe that sickness is not destructive? Of course it's destructive. It destroys. That's why you're going to the doctor. That's why you're taking pills. That's why you're managing whatever you're managing. Because it's destructive and you don't want to take it to its full extent. If you believe sickness is from God, stop taking medication. Stop going to the doctor. If God wants to put a sickness on you to be able to teach you something, you should accept that sickness to its full extent so that you can learn everything that God wants you to learn. Otherwise, if you go to the doctor, otherwise if you take medication, you're working against God. Who would want to do that? That's dumb. If you want to honor God, if you believe sickness is from Him, then embrace sickness. And some people do. It's crazy. But sickness is not from God, ever. Throughout Scripture, we only ever see Jesus was willing to heal, Jesus healed. And you know, it says that all who came to Him, He healed them. Okay, we'll look at a couple Scriptures with that now in a moment. But I really believe that healing is God's goodness manifested. God loves us, but why doesn't it always happen? That's another story, we'll get there. So, Luke chapter 9, verse 6, let's turn there. Luke chapter 9, verse 6 says, so they departed and went through the towns preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. I love that. This is talking about the disciples, not just Jesus. This is what they did. They went everywhere through the towns preaching the gospel and healing the sick. The gospel leads to the sick being healed because it's the good news of what Jesus has done for us. When you understand, and when you share with someone, hey, God's not holding anything against you. You need to believe this. This is what Scripture says. We looked at it. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 17. Their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. That's saying God's not holding anything against you. Another Scripture, let's just look at it quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If I can find it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I think it's around 20, verse 19. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Not imputing their trespasses unto them means not holding sin against them. Why did God not hold sin against mankind? Because He placed the punishment for it on Jesus. And so Jesus took your punishment for sin so that you wouldn't have to take your punishment for sin. As you know, when someone realizes that, all of a sudden their heart gets into a place of rest. when you realize that God's not holding any sin, anything against you at all, there's no speck on your record. There's not one little speck on your record in your relationship with God. When you believe that, it puts your heart at rest and it helps you to receive. Because often we're kind of in a place of not thoroughly convinced that we deserve. Let me tell you, you deserve healing 100% because healing is not a reward. A healing is not a reward for good behavior. Healing is not a reward for being a good Christian. Let's think about what is a good Christian. That's a whole nother story, isn't it? Healing is not a reward for you doing all the right things. Healing is a gift. And it's already been given. And so it's not God who's withholding your healing. It's you who's not receiving the gift. And we'll look at that in a moment. Well, let's just look at it now quickly. I'm kind of like torn between two here. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. If you can put it on the screen, it'll be easier. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, it says, "For by grace you are saved through faith." Okay, that word saved means sozo in the Greek, which is healed, delivered, prospered, made whole. It doesn't just mean forgiveness of sins. That's saying, for by grace you are saved through faith. So salvation didn't just happen by accident. If you're not a Christian here, then this is a good place for you to listen. Salvation doesn't happen by accident. It doesn't happen because you were born into a Christian family. Salvation doesn't happen because you were baptized in water as a baby or as an adult. It doesn't happen because you attend church. Salvation happens by grace through faith. Okay, so grace is God's unmerited, undeserved, unearned favor. It's a big, massive gift which God has given you. It's got your name written all over it. It's yours. Salvation. Okay, the Greek word for salvation is sozo, which means healed, delivered, prospered, made whole. And so you've got this awesome package which belongs to you, and it's yours. It's got your name. You deserve it. Amen? It's yours for the taking. But salvation isn't just by grace. Salvation is healed, delivered, prospered, made whole. Salvation, healing, isn't just by grace. Healing, healing, deliverance, freedom, prosperity isn't just by grace. Otherwise, we'd all have it. Because as Titus 2:11 says, the grace of God has appeared to all men. So the grace of God has appeared to all men, meaning we've all got equal access to it. But the key word is access. Not everyone's saved and going to heaven. Not everyone's okay. That's why Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples. Go preach the gospel. Those who believe shall be baptized. Those who don't believe shall be damned. Meaning, they choose that they're going to hell. This is something you need to receive for yourself. So, in Ephesians chapter 2, it's saying that for by grace you are saved through faith. Faith is our active response to what God is freely offering us. It's a free gift. And you take hold of it, it's receiving, it's faith. And so for Christians, we need to learn to receive. One of the keys I've already given you right now this evening is it's easier to receive when you realize, number one, that it's already given to you, it belongs to you, healing is yours, it's a gift, not a reward. But number two, you need to know that God's not holding anything against you, so He's not judging you for the things that you've done wrong and withholding your healing based on something you have or haven't done. That's good news, right? Because it means that you've got access to healing. Healing belongs to you. It's a free gift which you can enjoy. You just need to take hold of it. That's good news. Amen? So when we hear the gospel and we understand the gospel, it helps us to receive whatever we're believing for. And that includes healing. It includes deliverance. It includes prosperity. It includes wisdom from God. Everything that's in salvation, saved. We receive, it's a free gift, it's given to us by grace, we receive it by believing, by faith. And faith isn't something that you do, faith is just being fully persuaded that God has said what He said. So when you're fully persuaded that healing is yours, you just go, thank you, Father, that's mine, I'll have it. And God's not withholding. Okay, let's look at 1 Peter 2:24. 1 Peter 2:24 says, "Who Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. By whose stripes you were healed?" I'm going to ask it like a question. By whose stripes have you been healed? By Jesus' stripes. By whose stripes have you been healed? By Jesus' stripes. Jesus, the stripes is talking about the punishment that he took for you. When you know, if you haven't watched The Passion of the Christ, then maybe go and watch this part. Jesus' hands are tied and there's a post and he's chained up onto this post. It's called the whipping post. And then they take the soldiers take the, I think they call it the cats of nine tails or something like that. And it's got all these bones on and glass. And then what do they do? They're whipping his back. And it's more graphic than I'm making it out to be. And what actually happened is more graphic than what the movie portrays. Okay? If you go read some medical accounts on it on the internet, you'll also see that it would have been much more severe than what we can picture. But this is saying that by his punishment, you were healed. By his whipping, you were healed. He took your sins, and through his whipping, you were healed. He was beaten for your healing. Now, if you think about it, when did sickness come into the world? Came through Adam and Eve's fall, right? What was the fall? It was sin. And so, all sickness is the result of sin. It might not be your individual act of sin. It might not be the thing that you're struggling with that brought sickness in your life. So I'm not saying that every sickness in your life is tied to a sin that you did, but what I'm saying is that every sickness in your body is tied to the fall of Adam and Eve because that's where sickness originated. Okay? So all sickness is the result of sin, but not all sickness is the result of your sin. It's the result of sin as in the noun, sin as in what man became after the fall, not the individual acts of sin. Some individual acts of sin cause sickness, right? Am I wrong? I'm right. You sleep around, you might get some sickness. But not all sickness, I mean, you didn't get the flu because you were a naughty boy or a naughty girl. Maybe, maybe not. But the point is that sickness doesn't come from your personal action of sin. It comes from the noun of sin, which was originated in the garden through the fall. Okay, and this says, by whose stripes you were healed. So all sin has to be punished. All sin should be punished. Okay? And Jesus took your punishment so you wouldn't have to, so you don't have to be punished for sin, which means you don't have to be punished in order to be healed. It's not by your stripes that you're healed. It's not by your punishment that you're healed. Some of us think that we have to punish ourselves to be healed. Maybe I'll fast a bit, punish my body. Maybe come up with all sorts of weird things. Some people will just torture themselves trying to get healed, and it's like, well, how does that work? He took your punishment so you didn't have to be punished, so that you could be healed. Okay, by whose stripes you were healed? By Jesus' stripes you were, past tense, healed, past tense. This is putting healing in the past tense. Many people come and ask, why hasn't God healed me yet? That shows me you're not familiar with the scripture. Because God isn't withholding your healing. And He's not going to heal you today. He's not going to heal anyone. Because He's already healed. He's already provided healing for every single person. Okay, then so why are some people healed and some people not? By grace through faith. Why are some people saved and some people not? Because some people haven't received the gift of salvation. Why are some Christians dying of sickness? Why are some Christians suffering with sickness? Because they haven't received healing. Yes, they might be they might appear to be in faith. They might appear to be believing God. But we don't know really what's going on in someone's heart. And I would rather blame them than blame God. Because God's word is true and every other man a liar, Romans says. And I'm not making little of someone's situation or saying, hey, you're just a terrible person and you don't have enough faith. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying, hey, it's not God's fault. That's the best answer. No one can claim to know everything about faith and everything about healing. But one thing we can know is sickness is never from God and it's always God's will to heal. And when we're convinced of that, we set ourselves up for a miracle. We set ourselves up to be able to receive. Okay, so a couple more scriptures. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. Says, and Jesus went about Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all. Everyone say all. All kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. I like that. There's not any sickness that God cannot heal. We categorize things sometimes and say, well, you know, I've got a headache. Let me just take a Panado. God should rather heal someone of cancer. Your headache is as important to him as someone's cancer. And you're limiting, receiving that if you're categorizing it. That's like saying, well, you know, I can do a little bit of penance for my sin of gluttony. But someone who's into sexual immorality and stuff, you know, that God should rather use forgiveness on them because that's a really big sin. We categorize things. We do the same with sickness. And we shouldn't do that because sickness is sickness. And you know what the problem is? Is because in our culture, and it's a great thing that we have doctors, and it's a wonderful thing that we have medication. We've got two doctors in our family, and I'm thankful for them. Now, but the problem is we become dependent on these things, and we start to rely on them. And it's a good thing because they can help us live. Now, we heard a testimony this past week of a little girl, 5 years old, who was basically dying. She was on life support. It was unexpected. It was sudden. And she was on life support in a hospital. And there was people around the world praying for her. And she came through. It's an awesome testimony, which I don't want to spend time on now. But the point is this pastor whose daughter, it was a pastor's daughter, he stood up and he said, you know, I'm so grateful. He said, you know, she was miraculously healed. The doctors didn't do anything to help with the healing. He said, but they kept her alive and I'm thankful. Because otherwise it was another miracle needed. And you've just gone through this near death and then there's death and now you have to, you know, we don't want to... Like my wife said straight away, this is an awesome testimony. I trust I'll never have it. We don't want to have to go through things like that where, you know, it's near death or it's a death experience. You have to raise your child from the dead. I mean, that's exciting, but rather let's raise someone else's child from the dead. We don't want to go there. You know, because it's not that it's necessarily traumatic, but we want to use our faith for other things, you know. But the point is doctors are awesome because they can help. But we should be trusting in the power of God, trusting in what God's done for us. That should be where our faith is at. Amen? Doctors can't heal all sickness. They can't heal all disease. Dr. Jesus can. He can. He can heal anything. They might say, you know, you've got this chronic condition, you're going to just have to learn to deal with it and live with it. And you can go, thank you for your expert opinion. And then you can leave there and go, thank you, Jesus, your opinion's better. He's more of an expert. He's been around longer. Got a better track record. I'll give you another scripture to show you his track record. Luke 9:11 says, but when the multitudes knew it, they followed him. So now Jesus and his disciples went out in Luke 9:11. Now they've gone out and they're going to a place of solitude. Okay, they're looking to get out, get away from the crowds. But the people heard about it. The multitudes found out and then they followed him. And he received them. So he didn't chuck them out. He received them. And he spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who had need of healing. Jesus healed those who had need of healing. If you have need of healing, he's not turning you away. And he's not saying, hey, wait for Sunday. He's saying, you know, you can get healed in your bedroom. You can get healed on the street. You just need to connect to that grace and receive it. And then it manifests. And then you can start to experience that healing power. This is a good track record for Dr. Jesus, don't you think? He healed all those who needed healing. How many of you have wanted a refund after going to the doctors a couple times? Because they didn't help. Yeah, your chronic condition, they might say you can manage this. You can manage it if you want, but Jesus can eradicate it. Management isn't his best for you. Chronic medication isn't his best for you. Complete healing. Sickness should be eradicated. It shouldn't be tolerated. It's like tolerating a snake in your house. How many of you would like that? A Cape Cobra. You're just going to let him sleep under your bed. Yeah, if you're going to want to, you're not going to sleep there. Or you're going to get rid of him quickly. You know, you don't want something like that in your house. And yet a lot of us tolerate sickness, which is a work of the devil. And so we're tolerating a work of the devil in our house, in our body, in our temple. This is my temple. It's a temple of the living God. He's living inside of me. And yet... So often we put up with ailments. We put up with sickness. We kind of like, because, you know what? It's not so bad. I can manage it. You know, we just need to learn to fight. We just need to learn to take God's word and go, you know what? I'm not going to tolerate this. I'm going to push through and I'm going to get what God's word speaks about. So Jesus never turned away anyone for healing, never turned anyone away for a miracle. Okay? We can be confident that God's will is that all be healed. It's a done deal. He's not withholding anything. Amen? He really is not withholding anything. God is a good God. He's only ever got good things in store for us. That's good news. Matthew chapter 8. Look at a couple more testimonies of Dr. Jesus. Verse 1. I'm reading from the New King James. It says, when he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, a leper came and worshipped him. So this is someone with a skin disease which is unclean. If you touch him, you're going to get leprosy. So it's a bad condition. And the leper came and worshipped Jesus, saying, Lord, if you are willing, make me clean. You can make me clean. Jesus put out his hand and touched him. Jesus was clean. Now, under the law, if you touch someone who's unclean, you become unclean. But Jesus is Mr. Grace. Grace touched the man who had a bad condition, and Jesus didn't become unclean, the man became clean. The same happens for us. Okay, Jesus isn't scared of your condition. So Jesus put out, he's living in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory, the greater one is in you. So he says, Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was clean, cleansed, gone. That's a beautiful picture of Dr. Jesus' testimony, showing that he can heal an incurable skin disease. Okay, and I like it because the person approaches him and says, yeah, God, if it's your will, heal me. People do that now even. God, if it's your will, heal me. What does Jesus say? I am willing. Bam. Look down, verse 5. Now Jesus entered Capernaum. A centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed. Jesus had a reputation for healing. And this centurion says, you know, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. What does Jesus say? I will come and heal him. Jesus isn't saying, well, let me just check my ministry schedule. He's saying, yeah, sure, I'll come. I'll heal him. What does the centurion say? He says, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. But only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I am also a man under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to this one, go, and he goes. I say to this one, come, and he comes. And I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith in all of Israel. And so he basically sends the word, and the servant was healed that very moment, that very hour. Great testimonial for Dr. Jesus. Amen? Verse 14, now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. And so he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and served them. He really wanted someone to serve him. No, I'm joking. So just showing that, hey, listen, healing. Now, God can heal you over a period of time. The Bible says, Jesus said, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So if you're ill and we lay hands on you this evening, you've got to believe, you've got to know recovery is in place. Recovery is happening inside of you. You're getting better. You're improving because Jesus said that believers would lay hands on the sick and they would recover. That doesn't mean instant healing. It means they would recover. So there's instant healings and there's a recovery sometimes. But it means you get better. And it doesn't matter what the condition, whether it's instant or whether it's a recovery process, you're just happy it happened. Amen? Verse 16, when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed. If you feel demon-possessed this evening, just come. We'll pray for you. It'll come out. You'll be completely set free. Some sicknesses are linked to a bit of demonic activity, and it's easy to deal with. You just say, come out, and it comes out. Doesn't have to do a show or anything like this. I've seen this many times, and it just, the person is set free. And he cast out the spirits with a word, not with many words, with a word. Meaning it can happen quickly. You don't need a performance. And healed all who were sick. Everyone say all. Jesus healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet 700 years before this happened, where Isaiah said he himself, Jesus, took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. And so Isaiah prophesied that the Messiah would take our infirmities, bear our sicknesses so that we could be healed by his stripes. And Jesus healed people And it was a fulfillment of a 700-year-old prophecy. That's significant. I think that's kind of worth paying attention to and going, okay, I believe in healing then. If you're still not believing in healing and thinking it's Paul's thorn or what's the other one? Job. And you're thinking, well, I'm just Job. Then you really don't understand Scripture. Then you really need to go and get some resources at the back and renew your mind and realize that God's a good God. He's never withholding healing. He's never putting sickness on anyone. My wife and I and the boys were in a bookshop the other day. That probably many other days, if you know us, we're always in a bookshop. But we were in this particular bookshop, and they had a sale, and they had a whole bunch of audio books. And so we were looking through the audio books, which we don't usually do, but we were looking for stuff for the kids to listen to in the car and all of that type of stuff. And there was one audio book in there, which I don't know how to say. I took a picture of it because I wanted to make a Facebook post, and then I thought, you know what, I don't want to have to put up with all the comments I'm going to get, so let me just leave it, because I know I'm going to upset people. So I'm not even going to mention the author, but and by mentioning the title, you can Google it and figure it out for yourself, I'm sure. But the point is this was about how you shouldn't waste your cancer. And the whole thing was about how cancer is a gift from God, and don't waste it, fighting it and all that type of stuff. You know, fight it, go to the doctor. Don't understand that for people who believe this. But it's a case of, hey, there's something for you to learn here. So grow. Yes, you can learn something from anything, but who wants to? Yeah. You know, why would you want to learn the hard way when you can learn the easy way? If you can read, you can learn it. Point is God's not giving you the gift of whatever your condition is. The devil's giving you that gift. And if you want that gift, you can have that gift. But Jesus is offering you a better gift, and it's healing. It's a gift, meaning it's not a reward. It's something you receive. It's not something you earn. And when you want it and you realize it and you just go, hey, Jesus, thank you. In the name of Jesus, I'm healed. Healing starts to flow. That's where miracles start to happen in our bodies. And things start to take place. I've shared many testimonies in many different formats. We've got teachings on the back on healing, and we've got Healing for Today, which is a 14-day devotional. If you don't want to buy any of the stuff, then you can take it for free. Just make sure that you let them know behind the resource table, because we're not here to make money out of it. We're here actually to help you walk in what God's got for you. And I mean, you know, I can't fit everything into one message tonight, but some of the things, you know, we need to know that God wants us well. That no condition is a problem for Jesus. That God's not in control of our health. God's not in control of your health. You've got to know you've been set free from sickness. He's not withholding from you. And, you know, what to do when things go wrong. Because we live in a fallen world, so sometimes things go wrong. How do you respond to that? You know, we often think that we should just be like, it's a marshmallow life. We just float through life. You know, and everything should just naturally happen. But then why would we have such a comprehensive instruction book on how to live the life of faith? And why would we have the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us in truth? And why would the Bible say in James 4 verse 7, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you? Some things are from God. And we submit to those. Some things are from the devil. We resist those things. Sickness is always from the devil, so it's always needing to be resisted. We resist in faith, we resist through medicine, because God gave that wisdom. The devil didn't come up with medicine. He's not that clever. Okay, that was inspired by God. But a healing by medicine, and the medical field, is secondary. It's God's second best. Primarily is, hey, through faith. And we've had many healings over the past couple of weeks. Catherine shared one of this morning even. She was just praying in the Spirit in the leadership equipping time. And she had damaged this area of her body and her wrist and her finger and stuff. And the pain just went, and it's still gone, right? Still gone. So, I mean, we've had things like that happen. And there's many more testimonies sitting here that we could even testify about. We can spend another night testifying about them. But it's really just a thing to realize God's a good God. He's got good gifts for us. Healing is part of that. Whatever you're trusting for, it's yours. Now, as we partake of communion, now you can come up if you're serving communion. The rest of you can stay seated. We're going to serve you communion at your seat. But what I want you to realize is that communion, let me take before you hand out, because this morning I didn't get. So this, you got to realize that communion is your receipt. This is proof of purchase. So if you have to claim something, you need a receipt. You can hand out while I'm talking. You need proof of purchase, right? This is proof of purchase. By his stripes I was healed. That's proof of purchase right there. For those of you who feel like you don't deserve your healing, hey, the blood speaks a better word. The blood says you're innocent. The blood says there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. The blood says you're washed white as snow and you're clean. And so by his stripes you were healed and you deserve it. You deserve it 100%. And so as we're partaking, I want to encourage you, inside of you, just reach out and receive that grace for healing. It's offered to you right now. We'll lay hands on people and we're going to pray for you if you want prayer, but you can get healed. You could have got healed during the message. We've seen that. We've had deaf ears open in the service while I was preaching. That was a couple of years back. Someone who used to come and just enjoy the atmosphere but couldn't really hear what I was saying. But one day they were sitting there and they just started smiling big, and his son came to me after the service and said, while you were preaching, my dad's ears open. Just because you're preaching grace. You're preaching the message of the gospel. We've had other things happen during the service. You know, someone was having a heart attack during the service. Mild heart attack, starting to have all the symptoms. And during communion, they just said, I'm not taking this. Healing is mine. And all the symptoms stopped. And they've had a heart attack previously, so they knew what they were talking about. You know, we've had other things happen during the service where people were just instantly healed. This year to date, from January, between Albania, where I was in January, and where and in Stellenbosch, and in Pretoria actually too, we've probably had more than 40 people have their backs healed and had their legs grow physically, because the one leg was shorter than the other. And I mean, that's phenomenal. Things like that are normal. We stopped counting after January, so I don't know how much happened between January and now, because it was a bit tiring to try and keep up with it. But that's how it should be. Amen. The thing is, it's easy. Healing is a gift. It's easy to receive a gift. If it's difficult to receive a gift, it's not really a gift. It's a scam. And this is a gift. Here's your receipt. And so, Father, we just thank you that we are healed by the stripes of Jesus. And whatever condition is represented here, I thank you that it's no problem for you, Jesus. It's no problem for you at all. You've already provided healing for any condition, for every chronic condition, for every terminal condition, for every mild condition, for every minor condition. You've already provided what we need. And you've got to believe this. The provision far outweighs and is greater than the problem. It doesn't matter if you've got cancer everywhere in your body, because God's power is bigger than that. There can be an instant reversal of that. Any word from the doctor is not a death sentence, unless you take it as one. Jesus' word is a life sentence. It's healing. It's your answer. The remedy to sickness and to perishing is relationship with God. So right now, we're just doing a relationship with you, Father. We're looking to you and we're just saying thank you. We're just saying thank you, Father. Thank you for your goodness. Could you get that last song ready? Just say from your heart, be thankful. Just say thank you to the Father. Thank you, Jesus. We glorify you. We thank you that by your stripes we were healed. And as we eat and drink, we're declaring that our healing is ours in the name of Jesus. Let's eat and drink together. Thank you, Jesus. One of the things I believe is that healing flows really easy, and miracles flow when you glorify Jesus, when you focus on Jesus, and when you're just focused on His finished work, focused on His goodness. And so I just want to encourage you and say, just close your eyes for a moment and just imagine everything is done for you. Everything is finished for you. Everything is provided for you. By His grace, He's freely given you all things that you need for life and for godliness. That miracle, He's given it to you already. It's yours. And in the name of Jesus, it's released into the physical. In the name of Jesus.
We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to talk to someone, or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us on 021-8800-168 or at info@gracelifeministries.co.za. If you'd like to order more resources or find out more about us, you can visit our website at gracelifeministries.co.za. We'd also love to connect with you on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.